This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, independent campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh. We also stream online at cjsf.ca and listen to podcasts of our programs on our website.
Music and talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM. You're listening to Campus and Community Radio, broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. My name is Nicole Hines, and I want to thank you so much for joining me today on this Wednesday, this dry Wednesday, I might add. After a few days of rain in the Lower Mainland, we're officially blessed with some sunshine yesterday, and I think based on what the weather app is telling me, sun is planning to stick around for about 5 days or so straight. Can you imagine? So, if you have the opportunity, I encourage you to intentionally spend some time outside over the next few days. I personally love a good walk, and I live in one of the best cities for that, a city with all the hills, so I definitely get my workout going. So I do plan to be out and about grounding with the trees for the next little while. But first up, I want to share the news about two public hearings that are happening at the City of New Westminster, City Hall, and that is located at 511 Royal Avenue. And this is going to be happening on Monday, January 26th at 6 p.m. Last October, I chatted with New Westminster Mayor Patrick Johnstone about the city's progress on housing and how they've already surpassed their provincial targets. And, you know, since I'm a New Westminster resident, I do plan to attend this. I'm interested in hearing the concerns that the community may have. And then I am also interested in hearing some of the things that residents like myself should consider. The first topic of discussion is going to be the official community plan and zoning updates for transit-oriented development areas, nonprofit affordable housing, and administrative amendments. The city is updating its official community plan and zoning bylaw to implement housing initiatives. These updates are intended to refine the city's land use framework to ensure that housing needs identified throughout the city can be met. So the proposed bylaws would, one, enable transit-oriented development areas to support higher residential and mixed-use development near SkyTrain stations. Two, it would integrate the city's interim housing needs report into the official community plan. Then next, it would allow for non-profit affordable housing of up to 6 stories in transit-oriented development areas. And lastly, the proposed bylaws would update the bylaws to reflect any minor administrative changes. Then the second topic of discussion is the official community plan and zoning updates for townhouse development and nonprofit affordable housing. So in this topic, the proposed bylaws would, one, enable townhouses to be developed on approximately 900 properties. Two, pre-zone approximately 570 properties to speed up the approval of townhouses. Next, it would update regulations for townhouse developments, including changes to the minimum site area, building height, and density, as well as allowing secondary suites. And lastly, the proposed bylaws would allow for nonprofit affordable housing projects of up to 6 stories to be considered on townhouse designated sites. So the public hearing is open to everyone who believes that their interest in property is affected by the proposed bylaws, and a speakers list will open at 4:30 p.m. outside council chamber. If you can't make it in person, no stressing. You can also submit a written comment email to mayorandcounselors@newwestcity.ca. Or you can speak virtually at the public hearing. The only thing in that case is that you would have to register to speak virtually. So register for that opens on Friday, January 16th, so this upcoming Friday. And all you have to do is just visit speakers.newwestcity.ca to register. So stay tuned for my feedback on the January 28th Intravenous episode, because I'll be there on the Monday the 26th. So I can't believe it, we are already almost like midway through the month. We are on the 14th. Oh my gosh, goodness gracious, we are on the 14th. So we are pretty much like halfway through this month. We are so much has been going on in January that I feel like we've been in 2026 for months now. There is a lot going on within Canada as well as globally. And for someone like me who was raised on TV, I know that it's been this way forever. However, social media has really brought things to me and to us, actually, on a minute-by-minute basis. And it can really get overwhelming to process. So in the coming weeks, I plan to bring a diverse group of voices to have conversations about the events that are thrown at us on a daily basis, and to talk about how it affects women and femme identifying folks. So please stay tuned for that. And now there's another voice that I'm looking forward to featuring on Intravenous in future, and that is the Ending Violence Association of BC. I had a really great conversation with their communications manager, Fiona Jackson, last Friday, and we talked about the work that's being done on many fronts to shift gender-based violence that more people really need to know about. At the end of 2025, I did talk a lot about gender-based violence, and I am really excited to talk about some of the things that are being done to combat this. One initiative that Fiona shared was some information about a program that I really look forward to digging deeper into with her about. And the program is called Be More Than a Bystander. So in 2011, Ending Violence Association of BC and the BC Lions Football Club formed a partnership to provide high school students with the confidence and the skills to be more than a bystander, and to break the silence on gender-based violence. The program delivers practical tools to end violence, bullying, and harassment. It has led to the creation of workplace programming and an expanded scope to cover all forms of violence, harassment, and bullying. Ending Violence Association of BC now works with some of BC's largest employers and unions to create inclusive workplace cultures by inspiring action and true leadership at all the levels. So to get more information, head over to endingviolence.org/bystander. And I'll include that link in the show notes. And definitely stay tuned for a conversation with Fiona, because she is very interested in chatting with me on Intravenous. So I am looking forward. Okay, now there is another topic of discussion that I plan to have on the show. And sometimes topics of discussion come to me in all different ways, right? Like sometimes they come to me in emails. Sometimes they come to me because I've been like scrolling through Reddit, or just pop-ups about things going on in the world. But in this case, this topic is something that I am going to talk about next month, during Black History Month. This topic actually stumbled right into it. It fell into my lap pretty much this morning while I was scrolling through my TikTok FYP page. It is one of the platforms that I do like to access for information, keeping up to date to things, all of that, right? So the post itself that kind of stopped me in my tracks was actually from a Canadian account, I should add. And it had a statement that literally stopped me again, like from scrolling past it. And the statement was, not one Black girl said that school was safe. Like, wow. That was such a real and sad statement at the same time. As a Black woman who, you know, was a Black girl at one time and grew up in Toronto, born and raised, this statement was relatable and it spoke volumes to me. Schools should be a place of growth and safety, and for Black girls, it often isn't. In the Voices is Unheard survey, and that is a, it's Canada's first national health survey of Black women and girls, created and launched by the Black Women's Institute for Health. They basically surveyed nearly 2,000 Black women, girls, and gender diverse people who shared their lived experiences across the social detriments of health, from accessing healthcare to navigating mental wellness, employment, education, and more. The survey was designed to pretty much uncover the hidden truths about the experiences of Black women, girls, and gender nonconforming people in the Canadian healthcare system. The results of this survey were released in a report designed to highlight what the barriers to care and advocate for systemic change. This report also highlights the disparities and amplifies truth. It names systemic harm and presents bold recommendations for actual real change. And I'm so excited about learning that there's also recommendations for change, because in many cases, you know, we hear these stories, but it just kind of like stops there. So I'm really excited to get like delving into the report. I haven't went that far as yet, but like I said, this post kind of stopped me in my track and I was like, I need to talk about it. So for example, the Voices Unheard report found that not a single Black girl surveyed described school as a safe place. This finding reveals how racism and bias show up early, shaping how young Black girls see themselves and their futures. When safety is absent in school, it affects confidence, it affects belonging, it affects mental health well into the adulthood, so it doesn't just stop there. And protecting Black girls means creating learning environments that see them, respect them, hear them, and protect their right to learn without fear. I plan to take more time to read the report, and I encourage you to do the same to get a better understanding of what safety means for Black girls in Canada. The full report can be found on the Black Women's Institute for Health website, and that URL is bwhealthinstitute.com. So stay tuned for a deeper discussion on this next month. Like I said, I do want to delve a bit more into the report first. I will be sharing some of my own lived experiences. However, I do want to have some conversations with other folks to be able to, you know, give us a real well-rounded discussion on this. Now, today I'd like to talk about our artist spotlight today. I'm really excited because I discovered Kinde, who's a UK-born, Calgary-based artist on the CJSF Digital Library last week. I even played a track from her EP on my open mic show last Thursday. And so not only will I play the songs from her latest EP, entitled Letters in Love, but I'll also be sharing an interview that I did with her last Friday, so stay tuned for that. I had the chance to chat with her about her music, her inspirations, as well as her journey. So we're going to listen to a few PSAs before we get into the interview.
This is Free Voices at CJSF 90.1 FM, talking to you about
Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. We are 10 board of directors and we are rejoicing for world history. Our show is based on true stories, musical and storytelling and role playing. Silent Crimes Broken, very interesting series of show.
And a lot of in-depth oral tradition. We play every Thursday from 3 to 4. Come and join us.
Music. is Bird Note. It's one of those clear, quiet winter mornings on the bay. The silence is broken by a series of loud, insistent calls. What's the source of this wild refrain? There, 100 yards out where the water deepens, is a small cluster of sea ducks, dressed mostly in white. They're long-tailed ducks, back for the winter from nesting far to the north. Long-tailed ducks are named for the male's plumage. Long, slender tail plumes extend almost a foot behind his body. Long-tailed ducks are far more vocal than most ducks, a feature that has earned them a host of charming nicknames. The name that probably comes closest to capturing the sound of the male's call is from the Cree language, Hahawe. This winter, along either coast or on the Great Lakes, listen for long-tailed ducks. By listening, you'll have an advantage, because they can be hard to spot. When they're feeding, long-tailed ducks spend a lot of time underwater, and they can dive as deep as 200 feet. Even so, you can get a good look at a long-tailed duck on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein. This episode is dedicated to Dan Moore for his many years of board service and generous support of Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. From house wrens to wild turkeys, birds of all sizes like to scrub themselves clean using dirt? Call it what you will. Dirt bathing, dust bathing, or dusting. It's part of a bird's self-care routine, especially during summer. Birds may take a dirt bath alone, in pairs, or in a flock, and they'll chase away other birds from their favorite patch. Typically, a bird shuffles its feet to scrape a depression in the ground. Sitting on its belly with feathers ruffled, it flicks dirt onto its body. Now, a nice rub of the neck in the dust, and then a good shimmy gets rid of it all. Individuals may peck at the dirt to loosen it before or during the bath, which could last anywhere from a few seconds to several minutes. Experiments showed that frolicking in the dirt is good for a bird's plumage. When access to dirt was cut off for the northern bobwhite, oil started building up on its feathers. After Japanese quails dusted for about 2 weeks, they had less dandruff. In other words, dirt is like shampoo for birds. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Welcome to CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus and community radio station here at SFU in Burnaby, BC, where we broadcast from unceded coasts, Salish territories. My name is Nicole Hines, and today I am excited to chat with an artist based out of Calgary, Alberta. Kinde is an independent R&B artist known for vocal R&B and incorporates atmospheric and instrumental elements that fuses R&B and Afro Soul. She's known for singles like Dopamine High and is active in the YYC music scene. Fun fact, I used to live in Calgary for about 13 years, so I'm so thrilled to chat with someone in the YYC doing music, especially because I used to work in the music scene as well. So Kinde, hi, how are you? Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, I love it. I love it. So everybody, we are recording virtually because I'm in Burnaby and Kinde is in Calgary. So we are doing this on the virtual streets. But before I get started, since I did live in Calgary, what is the weather like there today?
It's actually really nice.
Stop.
We get Chinooks here, I'm sure you remember.
Yes.
So right now we're in the middle of one and there's no snow on my balcony.
Hey, I love it. I love it. So no snow, guys. I love that. I love that for Kin Day. Okay, so now I want to let you know that I discovered your latest album, Letters in Love, in the CJSF Digital Library back in December. And I listened to your album. I loved it so much. So I reached out to you. So again, thank you so much for responding.
Thank you.
and chatting with me today. So for the listeners, I will be playing songs from the album throughout today's show. But first, we're going to get into some questions, get to know Kin Day a little bit. So question number one, can you tell me a bit about the album Letters in Love? Like, what was your inspiration for the album?
I guess it's technically an EP, but my inspiration, I didn't really have like the idea of creating a full length project when I was creating it. I think I was just going through some things and music is my outlet. So yeah. And then I think it was around June, one of my friends, she has this collective, I guess, that she started, and it's called Meet on Neutral Ground. So she gives an artist like a showcase that they can put on. I think she does it every Thursday or every second Thursday, something like that. And she was like, hey, do you want to do this? And I had the slot. So I was like, man. EP singles. I have no idea. And then one day I was just like, okay, I guess I'm doing an EP. And then it took me, I think, like a month and a half to just finalize everything and then shot it up from there.
Okay, so I love, this is segueing into my next question, because I was going to ask you about the journey of this project. And did it flow with ease? Because I know I talk with artists on, you know, pretty regularly. And sometimes the journey isn't that, it doesn't flow as easily as it could, right? So I'm just curious for you, like, how did the project flow for you?
It's funny because I haven't really sat to like think about that whole like what was the beginning until the end. But my very first song that I ever like recorded in a studio was Hangin' On. But actually when I did do that song, I didn't necessarily love the mix that I got. So at some point I took it down. And then from there, I just went through the process of making all the songs. And it happened at like just different stages of my life throughout the year. So this happened all throughout, I guess, 2023 till 2025. Wow, that's crazy.
Wow.
I guess the most stressful part was probably at the end when I was trying to figure everything out, because I had already started my promotion for it.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a date that I could tell people. So like, oh my goodness, I have maximum of a month to figure this out before people start being like, okay, I guess it's not happening.
And but here we are.
Here we are.
I love it. I love it. So, okay. Before we get into some more specific questions about the album, I'm just curious, like, what does music actually mean to you, right? Like, how, you know, like, how, what is that relationship like?
I think that's a great question. When I was growing up, I used to always hear a lot of these artists being like, music is my lifeline. Like, yeah. I don't know where I'd be without it, etc. And I was like, oh, you're just being dramatic. But it wasn't until, I guess, last year that I realized truly, like, a lot of the times I'll start with music and do my thing, whether that's like learning the guitar, actually writing, etc. And then I'll stop. But the one thing that I do always come back to is music. And I think what it means to me is like, truly it is my lifeline. It's how I get out whatever's going on up in my head. It's how I process the world. And at the end of the day, it's also how I want to leave an impact on the world.
I love it. Yes, leave an impact. I love that. I love it. My next question for you is, How did you get started in singing? And it's going to be a two-part question. So first is like, how did you get started into singing? And then the second part is, how is it being a singer in Calgary? Because I would, you know, you might not have a lot of other cities to compare to, but you do, you can share how it feels to be a singer in Calgary.
Yeah. How did I get started? I just remember as a little girl, I was just always singing constantly,
okay.
just annoying my brothers. And I think it wasn't until grade 7 when I actually kind of started taking it seriously. But that was in a different sense than what I'm doing now. So when I was in 7th grade, my mom kind of pushed me to join the church choir. And back then I was like shy and everything. So I was just like, I guess I'll do it. And then yeah, I've been singing in choir since then. And then it was 2023 when I actually started writing, like, professionally my own music.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, sorry, what was the second part?
The second part is, like, how do you feel being a singer in Calgary?
Calgary, yeah. So in Calgary, I mean, I've been here most of my life. So, yeah, like you said, there's not much to compare to, but it's nice. And I think that the fact that we're just kind of figuring out our infrastructure here when it comes to the music scene, it's really nice to just watch everyone grow and just watching things take place. And then as well, it's such a vibrant city.
Right.
I think before I stepped into the music scene, I was like, man, I hate it here. I gotta get out. And then I started going to events and I'm like, wow, this is actually really cool.
Fast.
And then I got into those events and went from there.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. So my next question now is a little bit about the album or the project Letters in Love. So it's 6 tracks, right? And would you say that each song tells its own story or do they cohesively, you know, connect? Kind of thing?
Yeah.
Or is the project the story? You know what I mean?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think one really cool thing about the fact that this wasn't necessarily supposed to be a project is
right.
that each song does tell its own story.
Nice.
So if you listen to it, there's kind of like a progression, which is so weird because it was unintentional that each song tells a different phase of being in love.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire project kind of goes from the beginning of falling in love to the end. You're no longer necessarily in love with that person, but you've now like found love in yourself. So,
right. Yeah. I love that. And especially, this is airing in January, but like what is coming next? The month of love. It's Black History Month, but it's also the month of love. So I just feel like this project can be a great bunch of tracks to listen to on repeat, guys, because I absolutely love it. And I think, I think you guys will love it too. We are going to play some songs off of the project throughout the show. So you will be able to hear some of that. My next question, because we are going to be playing some tracks, do you have a favorite by chance? Or favorites? Or favorites? I mean, sometimes you don't. I'm a mother. I mean, it's hard. I can't say. You know what I mean? So I get it.
Yeah. right? Because they're all my babies. But I think for the lyricism, Dopamine High is my favorite. And that one also challenged me a lot. So
okay.
That, and then just favorite song in general is, I would say, Dancing in the Clouds.
Oh my gosh. I played Dancing in the Clouds on my show on yesterday, actually.
Oh, nice.
So I, guys, I have a show on Thursdays to do. And so I did play Dancing in the Clouds. It is one of my favorites as well. And that was like a way to kind of get folks to know you a bit, right? They're going to know you more on this show. I'm really happy about that. But I did want to give a little bit of a teaser, a little taste. So I love that. That is, look at us being on the same page. Oh, I will say, it's so funny. My fave is actually Hanging On, which wasn't necessarily your fave in the beginning, but how do you feel about it now?
I actually really love it. I think
Hey.
actually the fact that I did have to go through the process of a little bit of a disappointment at the beginning to getting it to where I wanted it to be just helped me appreciate it a lot.
Love it, love it. And then, okay, so I want a couple more questions before I kind of wind things down and get into the music. The first question is, what advice would you give to